In our first session, we took the time to go to Scripture and to note a passage that draws out in examination quite a number of principles having to do with grace giving. And now it's time for the application of these principles related to the Board of Deacons' search for our own place, another area where there has been some confusion. So first of all, let me give you a little background in this particular issue. Misunderstanding of the principles of grace giving on the part of some in this congregation has inspired this study. This has come to light in the environment of our search for a new facility. This search began well over a year ago and revealed that we would be unable to legitimately deal with professionals in the real estate business or with those who desired to sell properties without a certain amount of capital on hand. To be more precise, we were told we had to have a certain amount of money in the bank and available to the board before a serious search for a facility could reasonably be considered. I hope you didn't misunderstand that statement. I will repeat it. To be more precise, we were told we had to have a certain amount of money in the bank and available to the board before a serious search for a facility could reasonably be considered. An effort was made to ascertain to what degree this congregation could raise an amount that would enable the board to conduct this search, and if necessary, how much additional capital could be acquired through loans from a financial institution. This effort was well thought out and had among its guidelines the following principles. Number one, the privacy of every individual in this church was to be protected. Secondly, the method to determine the financial capacity of our membership, called the White Card Survey, instructed members to prayerfully consider how much money, if any, each was led of the Holy Spirit to donate to this project. Three, no person was to give if doing so would in any way cause him or his family's welfare to be compromised. Four, no one was to give if he was not motivated by the Holy Spirit. Five, the amount decided upon was to be determined by prayer and guidance from doctrine in his soul. Six, money pledged was to be given at the appointed time with no strings attached. Seven, no donor was to pledge what he did not intend to give. Eight, money given was understood to be God's money, and it would be administered by the Board of Deacons, which includes me as your pastor, and the several men listed as deacons on page 2 of the church's prayer bulletin and for whom you voted. And nine, this system was so constructed that it allowed all contributions to be kept in the strictest of confidence. Now, by the time the deadline imposed by the Board of Deacons arrived, this system resulted in the collective contribution of $222,000, which the board was then able to assume was the amount of money raised by the Holy Spirit for the purpose of pursuing a new facility. Now, it must be admitted that as we undertook this search, each member of the board was breaking new ground, and thus a learning curve was experienced by each of us. After several aborted attempts to secure a new facility, we were able to finally pull together a clear understanding of our position before the Lord and within the real estate market of the St. Louis area. the doctrinal conclusion we ultimately reached was that this church did not have the capital to pursue a new facility. The board still holds this position. Because of this, we have adjourned the new facility committee sine die, and it will not be reactivated until a date yet to be determined, if at all. Over the course of our search, our learning curve has been facilitated by the advice and counseling of experts in the fields of real estate, law, and banking. For example, number one, Mr. Irvin L. Heide, Jr., Vice President of Grubb Ellis Krombach Partners, a real estate brokerage firm in St. Louis. He personally advised us, we didn't have the money, don't come back till you do. Paraphrased. Secondly, Mr. Paul Kopsky, partner of Kopsky and Heck, a real estate law firm in Chesterfield, advised similarly. And finally, loan officers at several banks in the St. Louis area who specialize in loans to churches. This due diligence was conducted over a period of approximately a year, and as our learning curve learned the rules, as it had tried to apply grace giving, we discovered we didn't qualify to go back out there and take the time of real estate professionals and therefore clog their schedule and cause them to fail to meet and discuss properties with clients who actually could pull the trigger. Now, these men have told us point blank that we do not have enough money in the bank to seriously search for a new facility. The present balance is $290,000. As a result of this expert opinion, the board is no longer considering the purchase of a new facility, nor will it entertain the suggestion of looking at a new facility as long as this financial condition continues. Do not even suggest to a member of the board that you know about a church. We will happily say how nice, but we will not act on it. The new facility committee has been adjourned. Now, while the board's chairman and I were out of the city last month, a new facility located in Webster Groves was brought to the attention of the remaining members of the board who were still in town. However, when Weldon and I returned to the city, the board met and determined that the new facility fund only contained $290,000 on deposit, and the board voted unanimously not to give any consideration to this property, and then adjourned. Now, in order for us to reactivate the new facility committee, the amount on deposit must increase significantly, and that increase must occur through grace giving. Now, I have amplified the principles that define this act of worship in our study this morning. You're left to apply these principles to your own circumstance and act accordingly. All the guidelines you need have been elaborated upon and reiterated this morning. You are not, neither in the first session nor in this one, being asked for money. You never have been and you never will be, and the white card survey was researched and structured so that no one would feel intimidated, coerced, or otherwise to give. And I am adamant about this. I had rather retire than have to ask anyone for money to do anything around this church. It is common sense. Churches have to have money to operate. And if you've got common sense, you understand that. So why does anybody have to ask you for anything? So you're not being asked for money. You're being reminded of grace giving, which is review as follows. Number one, a mental attitude of reciprocity in the soul. It's a mental attitude. Secondly, the motivation is grace. The act of giving must be voluntary, your own free will. Three, giving is an act of worship and therefore a privilege. To worship God is a privilege. for. Grace giving is a function of the soul and is clarified by spiritual growth and always seeks divine guidance. Grace giving is a function of the soul. It's clarified by spiritual growth and always seeks divine guidance. 5. The amount given is not the issue. The mental attitude must find its source in the ministries of the Holy Spirit. 6. True giving is never forced, coerced, or commanded. It is determined in the soul and freely given. 7. Spiritual giving is an expression of reciprocity, which recognizes the ultimate gift of divine love through Christ. 8. True giving is directed to God, not to men, not to churches, not to organizations. You're not giving to the church. You're motivated by the Holy Spirit, and you give to God, His plan, and His purpose in the church age. The desire to give, number 9, must motivate the act of giving. The desire to give must motivate the act of giving. A pledge, a promise, an assurance, or one's word of honor is not the act of giving. Giving is an act, not a declaration. 10. The act of giving is based on how God has prospered you. You cannot give what you do not possess. 11. The desire to give by those who have nothing is acceptable to God because the mental attitude is grace-oriented. And 12, grace giving is never concerned or dependent upon what others do or do not give. It's none of your business. Secondly, the board's administration of God's money. Money is collected. The board of deacons has the power and the authority and the responsibility to administrate these funds. Now let's go to Scripture again. Titus and two associates are given the duty of carrying the Corinthians' contribution, if any, back to Jerusalem. Titus is sent to teach grace giving, and should there be a response, the treasurer of the group will be entrusted to carry the contribution to the Jerusalem church. And this individual is said to be highly respected and known to all. Please note 2 Corinthians 8, verses 18 through 21. First, 2 Corinthians 8, verses 18 through 21. We have sent along with Titus. He's identified in verse 16. We have sent along with Titus the brother, and that brother in Christ is thought to be Luke, whose fame in the things of the gospel has spread through all the churches. And not only this, but he has also been appointed by the churches. That's congregational votes. Luke was voted this duty. Therefore, he has been given the authority as well as the responsibility to take care of the money and therefore take it to its intended destination. Not only this, but he has also been appointed by the churches to travel with us in this gracious work, which is being administered by us for the glory of the Lord and to show our willingness of mind. It's being administered by us for the glory of the Lord and to show our willingness of mind. We want to do this. We're motivated to do this. Taking precaution that no one should find fault with us. Taking precaution that no one should find fault with us in the handling of large sums of money being administered under our authority. For we have regard for what is honorable not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. pain has been taken ever since I came to this church to ensure the proper disbursement, administration, investment, and care of the money deposited here. We have had two treasurers who have been loyal to this concept, John Smith Sr. and Daniel E. Hunt, who is presently serving. Honorable men who know what they're doing and take very, very seriously the responsibilities that are placed on their shoulders. And no one should ever have reason or purpose to challenge or impugn their integrity. Money given to the Lord's work, therefore, must be properly administered. The mention of Luke draws attention to this responsibility and his integrity that gives confidence that these funds will be administered professionally. Now, Luke is a man who is said to be widely respected throughout the Christian churches and has received their vote of approval to administer funds collected through grace giving. He's voted on, he's widely respected, great confidence has been entrusted in him, and that confidence carries over to the full realization that the money will be cared for and delivered. Now, the procedures for handling money should be well known to the donors so that they might never call into question the methods of investing, managing, or dispersing these contributions. Our church has voted to place me in authority over it and its spiritual affairs. Further, it has voted to place seven men in positions of authority on its board of deacons. According to our Constitution, the eight of us make up the board of deacons. In doing so, you have acknowledged your confidence in our abilities to administer the affairs of this church and the ministries it undertakes. I've worked closely with the current board for 5 years, and each man possesses institutional knowledge of all the issues that face this church, and especially this issue. Every effort has been made to do what is right for this congregation and for the future of this church and its ministries, which are the top priorities. We have spent hours around the table at deacons' meetings discussing matters of importance to this church. All expenditures are debated, and when approved, it is the board's desire and intent that they will assist in making the Word of God more available to those who desire its teachings. Further, the man in charge of the finances, again our treasurer Dan Hunt, is a person everyone in this church considers to be above reproach. He makes the financial status of this church known to the congregation through monthly mailings that document activities in the general fund and the new facility fund. The principles under which the board has sought a new facility have been consistent from our first effort to look at properties. Some members have been confused about the policies under which we have approached these properties. There are two reasons for this. Number one, some members of the congregation were confused about the principles of grace giving. And two, the board's learning curve had not caught up with the demands of the marketplace. In order to prevent this kind of confusion from occurring again in the future, the following policies have been established by the board so that you may be aware of how we will approach properties in the future. Number one, first of all, these policies are absolute and inflexible, and the board is resolute to stand fast behind them without compromise. Did you get that? I used every word I could think of to make that clear. Let's do it again. The policies are absolute and inflexible, carved in stone. The board is resolute to stand fast behind them without compromise. voted unanimously. We are not interested in promises, pledges, or assurances from anyone. Giving is an act, not a declaration. The board's new facility committee is and will remain inactive until the new facility fund has a minimum of $750,000 on deposit, and Danny Hunt can show us the deposit slip, an amount decided upon after consultation with experts mentioned earlier. It was not brought out of thin air. So let me note something on point three. The board has determined that there are a number of church properties up for sale in the greater St. Louis metropolitan area. We've seen many. The minimum price, regardless of where you go to look, the minimum price hovers in the range of $1 million. Based on our church's established annual rate of giving, which we assume is grace giving, therefore God's money, thus His directed guidance. Based on our church's established annual rate of giving, it has been determined that 3/4 of this amount, $750,000, is required to realistically consider a property. The rationale behind this decision was explained by Dan Hunt at the congregational meeting on 24 August 2003, if you're interested in the review. 4. Any contributions received that have strings attached will be promptly returned. Don't need that money, it's confusing. The board, we don't operate with a lot of neurons. Everything has to be up on the table, clear as punch to us. And we don't need to be confused. We need an amount that's God's money, and that becomes very important in understanding His directive will. 5. We're not interested in knowing the source or the amount of any contribution. That should be extremely private. 6. Whosoever gives should do so as unto the Lord, as motivated by the Holy Spirit, and their identity should remain unknown to the board, with, of course, the exception of the treasurer. 7. We consider all contributions to be God's money, which we are honor-bound to administer under the guidance of Bible doctrine and under the ministry of the Holy Spirit. 8. If and when finances enable the board to reactivate the new facility committee, it will do so. And if a property is discovered that the board determines meets the needs of this church and its ministries, it, the board, will bring the facility to the congregation's attention for its consideration and ultimately a vote. Our Constitution is so written that real property cannot be purchased by this church without approval of the congregation. And the congregation, by constitutional mandate, must be informed of such a meeting 2 weeks prior, not only from the pulpit, but in writing. And we followed that as faithfully as we've known how throughout this process. And that is why I kept calling congregational meetings every Sunday. During one of our most recent episodes, I had to give a 2-week notice, so I made it clear. We meet, we have a congregational meeting every Sunday, so you know they're coming. And we have another one, I have to give you 2 weeks' notice. 9. The board will make the decisions regarding the physical plant of any new facility. This is something that's popped up, so let me clear this one up for you. The board will make the decisions regarding the physical plan of the new facility, colors of walls and carpets, the type of furniture, the landscaping of the property, or any other such details will be decided by the board. Don't tell me you don't like the color of the wall or the carpet. It beats the shadow people, whatever color we put there. It beats the lines and the stripes and the circles, whatever color of the carpet. Where is your grace orientation, for Pete's sakes? Where did you get your degree in interior decor, and what difference does it make? We will, of course, consult experts. Finally, until the new facility fund has $750,000 on deposit, it is useless to bring properties that are for sale to the attention of the board. Again, the board will not reactivate the new facility committee, which is assigned the duty to go research all properties. The new facility committee has that responsibility. They research properties. And they are not active and won't be until there's $750,000 on deposit. Now, a conclusion. Our review of grace giving is not an appeal for money. See, what part of divine guidance is you don't get any money? What's the Lord saying there? Stay with the shadow people. Is this okay with you? It's okay with me. I don't care. I show up, I teach who comes. Don't matter to me. No one is ever asked for money in this church. However, there has been some confusion as to what grace giving is, and this needed to be cleared up. Pledges do not constitute giving. I've pledged to you all day long. I can promise you all day long. You girls ought to understand this. How many promises have some dudes given you? How have they fulfilled their promises? And the very fact they say, "Well, I love you, darling." What does that mean? What's coming from that soul? Is that true or not? Or is he trying to slick-tongue you into something you ought not to be doing? Like hanging around with him, for example. Where's the integrity? Where's the proof of the integrity? You hang around him long enough, he will divulge to you who he is. And you will be able to read him like a book, for he is so predictable. Pledges do not constitute giving. This is an idea spawned in denominational churches. When giving occurs, it is necessary that it follow the grace principles outlined here today and summarized in this verse, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Let each one do just as he has determined in his heart. Stream of consciousness, cardia. Let each one do just as he has determined in his stream of consciousness. That's the doctrine circulating there that gives him guidance for what to do. Not from pressure or compulsion of emotion. For God keeps on loving the grace-oriented giver. The amount of money raised is a major indicator to the board of God's directive will for this church. Right now, it is clear the Lord's intent is for us to stay here. If things change over time, then the board will reconsider its position. If so, then it will be clear that the Lord's timing is the issue. For all the cattle on 1,000 hills are His, and He will provide the money at His good pleasure. The Lord's timing is perfect, and we will patiently wait on His timing. Until then, we continue onward and upward at geographical status quo. For additional information on the doctrine of giving, I recommend to you the book by R.B. Thiem Jr., Giving, Gimmick, or Grace, available, I assume, on the bookstand. For a review of the board's policies regarding the search for our own place, I recommend the tape of the Sunday morning service of 24 August 2003, available on the tape rack by the bookstand. We will resume our study of the grace apparatus for perception on Tuesday evening. Heavenly Father, we're grateful to you for the privilege of gathering here today. It is our prayer, Father, that through this review, we would all be reminded of grace giving and the principles that are associated with it. Whatever a man purposes in his own heart, let him therefore also do, not from pressure or compulsion of emotion, simply motivated by reciprocity toward you. And therefore, with these principles in mind, we can move forward as a grace church, emphasizing your word in the process of our... And in so doing, you will take care of all of the details that are necessary for us to do your plan and your will in this church at this time. All that we've ever needed, you have provided. We lift our thanksgivings to you for these provisions, and we pray that those who gather here would take seriously what they do, and the serious thing that must be done is the study of your word and the advance in your plan. And as we do this, and as others desire what is taught here, that you would continue to provide the capital necessary to give these people the electronic reproductions of these lessons so that it might continue to contribute to the spiritual growth of others away from this local congregation, and that by working together in this fashion, the body associated with this church would grow and become a very definite impact in the invisible war, as well as providing the impetus for a national revival and recovery from national discipline. Motivate and encourage us regarding these things, and we lift our prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of the armies. Charis human kai rene plethun thae in epinosai, tu theu kai iesu, tu kuriu hemon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen.